Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to LAID, Love and Intimacy for the Disabled. I am your host, Stephanie Wallace, and this is Girl Talk. Tonight's topic is Disability Ain't Got Nothing on Me. And me and Ms. V will be talking tonight about triumph over disability and how you have to live and you have to jump over that hurdle of disability and continue on with your life as best as you can and make most of your life as you can. A lot of people count, you know, people with disabilities out. Some people with disabilities count themselves out, but not me and Ms. V. So we're going to talk about that tonight. Ms. V, how you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Hi, everybody.
And how's your day?
Good and wet.
Good and wet. You went out today?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't go on. I didn't go nowhere.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, I stayed in. I've been in for a couple of days. But, Ms. Z, today's topic is disability ain't got nothing on me.
And has nothing on me either.
I hear that. And speaking as a person, you know, me and you, we talk a lot, and I must tell you that I am inspired by your spirit. You have this wonderful, wonderful spirit. You're a lot of fun, you know, first of all. And I appreciate that because I can get down sometimes myself. You know, I let things bother me a lot. And I'm trying to get past that and learn how to, you know, right now I'm going over, got a few big hurdles that I need to jump over, you know, in my personal life. But for you, When we say disability ain't got nothing on me, what does that mean to you?
It means that I don't let nothing stop me. I try my best not to let anything stop me. Not my disability, not the fact that I'm getting older. I don't let nothing stop me. Not the fact that my son is driving me crazy. I don't let nothing stop me.
All right. All right.
No. You only have one life to live, so you have to, you know, you only have one life to live, so you live it the best you can, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of jealous of people that I see that can do things where, you know, that have done things that I used to think I couldn't do. And I see things that other people are doing, I'm going, you know, hey, I could do that too, or I wish I was younger so I could have done that too, you know.
Mm-hmm. Things like what?
So once I was invited to jump out of a plane, like parachute, and I didn't do it. Now I wish I had done it. Not that I'm too old to do it now, but I just wish I had done it when I was younger.
You're too old to do it. What do you mean
no,
you're too
no,
old to
no,
do
No, I'm not too old to do it. I just wish I had done it when I was younger.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think it would have changed your life in any way? Because that's a big thing to jump out of a plane.
This would have been a nice experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would have been something I could put in my book.
Okay.
Things I've done. You know.
Okay. You
most
seem to be pretty much the type of person that you do what you want. That's the type of person you seem, you know, to me. And is that true about you?
Yeah, if I see something most of the time that I want to do, I'll just do it. Like, I always said that if I ever hit the lottery, I'm going to go all around the world and ride on every roller coaster, fun roller coaster that I can ride on. Huh?
You like roller coasters?
I love roller coasters. Right now, I can't ride on the roller coaster. So what I'll do is me and my boyfriend, hi, Cal, I know you're listening. We'll go to amusement park, and I have him get on the roller coaster. Sort of vicariously to him.
Vicariously,
we'll find the roller coasters. I'll tell him, please, can you please get on that roller coaster and get on that ride and let him get on it. And then when he gets off, he'll tell me the experience. I like roller coasters. But, you know,
you
I can't
know
get
what
on it.
You know what I used to do with my grandchildren? because I don't do roller coasters anymore. I stopped doing that a long time ago. It stopped making sense to me a long time ago. Around 20-something, it stopped making sense to me to get on the roller coaster. But with my grandson, I used to look at the videos. We would just look at the videos from that point of view of the rider, and we would look at the videos and pretend like we were on the roller coaster together. You know, now he's big enough and he can get on, but it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I have a video of roller coasters, different roller coasters, and I just I used to watch it and just pretend like I was on it and imagine how my stomach would feel and how I would feel, just how it would feel going up and how it would feel going down. Same things that I've seen, that if I wanted to do it, I just went on and did it. Like one time we was at, I remember me and my sisters, we were at Jacob Javits Center. I can't really remember what the what we were there for. And they was having this pageant. It was the Ashley Stewart fashion pageant. And I wanted to join it. I was in the wheelchair. I wanted to join it. So I joined it. And I was the only woman in a wheelchair, disabled person, wheelchair. And I joined it. And it was very challenging. It was tough because we had to I had to come up with the money for it and everything like that. Just like everybody else, they didn't treat me no different and everything. But it was fun. It was fun. And I won an award, and I was in the Amsterdam newspaper.
Oh.
And it was fun. I really enjoyed it. And next time I see you, maybe I'll bring the picture to you.
So the fashion show was at the Jacob Javits Center?
The fashion show was at the Manhattan Center on 34th Street.
Right.
But
the
they announced it at Jacob Javits Center that they was having a pageant, an Ashley Stewart pageant.
Okay.
They had about 50, I think it was like 50-some-odd women. There were 100 women tried out, and I was shocked that I got picked. I really was. I was shocked that I got picked. And plenty of times I wanted to like give up and say, nah, when I saw some of the women that was up there trying for it and stuff. It was just hard for me. It was hard for me. And during that time, guess what happened? My motorized wheelchair broke down. And we had to go and have rehearsal twice a week downtown.
Oh.
And my motorized wheelchair broke down on me. Yes, it did. But back then it was a lot easier for the companies to come and bring you another wheelchair to loan. It was a lot easier. Yes. And we had
so
to
this was in front of a big crowd? Well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Were you nervous?
Yeah, and we had to do a dance. So they had to do a dance to work a dance around me and my abilities, what I could do. So I didn't stick out like a sore thumb and stuff like that. So they worked around me with that, you know, and stuff like that. And a march that we had to do and stuff like that. And they all had to come up these stairs. I had to already be on stage. But they didn't want that to look, you know, they worked so nicely with me. I loved it. Just the last thing I'm going to say about it, because only thing, it wasn't the wheelchair, me being in a wheelchair that made the big deal. It was my locks. It was my
locks.
They didn't want, they didn't want locks in the pageant. They didn't want locks in the pageant. So when I show you me in the book, you're going to see I have a wig on.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So it wasn't so much the wheelchair. It was the fact that I had locks in my hair.
Wow. So is this something because I think there at times when we take these big leaps over things, you know, has there been any other times in your life where you have taken a big leap over a situation or something like that that you feel has, you know, given you more courage or propelled you forward as a person living with a disability. You
yes,
understand my question?
When I had my son.
Oh, okay.
When I had my son, yeah. Yeah, after I had him, they told me don't do that no more. But, yeah, when I had my son, you know, I had toxemia with him and stuff like
you
that.
You had what?
And,
I'm sorry.
Toxemia, where the poison, like he was in, while he was in me, he was going to the bathroom in me, and it got into my blood, and it poisoned my blood. So I ended up having to have him early, like 2 months early. And everything like that. He was born 1 pound, 12 ounces, and everything like that. I had him, when I had him, after having him, I was like paralyzed for like 2 months. I couldn't move, I couldn't do nothing. I was so scared. I was so scared. But God is good. He's so good. After 2 months, I was able to, you know, I was able to move again. But once I had one, right after I had him, I couldn't move, nothing.
Wow.
I couldn't move, nothing. But I knew that I did not want my mother to raise him. I had him to raise him myself. And I wish I could take a picture of him right now and show you. Yeah, I did. I really believe I did a good job with him.
All right.
but that was, you know, that was trying for me, you know, and everything like that. But, and other than that, everything else, I did it like everybody else. I did this. I just raised him like everybody else. Me and his father. We do it because we have to do it. You know that, Miss S. We have to do it. We do what we have to do. You know, nobody's gonna look at us and go, You know, sometimes I start to put a pity card. Like when I'm in line, when I get online, it's a long line, and they go, you know, you don't have to stand on this long line. Or if it's a long line, and somebody goes, come on, come this way, you don't have to stand on this line. And I go, really? Well, this person is with me, and they go, come on, you don't have to stand on the line. Okay, that's the good. That's when it comes in good. But other than that, no, they ain't trying to, you know. Nobody in the bank slipping me an extra $100 because I'm in a wheelchair or, you know, nothing like that, you know.
Now, have you ever felt that being in a wheelchair stopped you from doing anything, you know, besides getting on the roller coaster, you know, something that you may have really wanted to do, but, you know, your wheelchair being disabled said no?
No, not really. I mean, when I was younger, after I graduated high school, I wanted to go to college, but it was hard for me to go to college because I was trying to go to college on my own, trying to get off and on the city buses and stuff like that and get to and from college. So that stopped me from going to college, yes. But other than that, no. We didn't have no accessorizing and all that good stuff like we have now.
Oh,
so,
okay,
you know,
back in the day, right.
You know, so we didn't have all
things
that.
Things weren't as accessible.
No, I still went on my dates. I still fell in love. I still had my heart broken. Still had my girlfriends. I still hung out. I still traveled.
Okay.
I did everything. Everything I wanted to do, I think I did. I still had my baby, you know, everything I wanted to do, you know. I still think I'm cute. Always.
Yeah, you are.
You know, so, you know, you just deal with what you were given. You just deal with it, you know. And stuff
now
like
going
that.
Forward.
You gotta love yourself, because if you don't love yourself, how you expect other people to love you? You know.
This is true.
And you have to thank God for everything.
And be grateful.
He's the boss of everything, and thank God for everything. Yeah.
Now, when you look at your future, when you look at your future, is there anything that, you know, any type of goals or anything that you have that you, you know, are looking forward to doing?
I'm a day-by-day person.
Okay.
I'm a day-by-day person. Whatever falls in my lap, I take it, I accept it, I run with it.
Okay.
That's the only thing I can say.
One thing I must tell you, Ms. V, is that I truly enjoyed having you as a part of LAE, you know, as part of the LAE team. You know, you're very supportive, and you're a lot of fun, you know, and you've given me ideas. And I love when you say mama. But you've really been very supportive, and, you know, you're somebody who I feel I can really just let my hair down with, you know, and just talk to, you know, for real, for real. And I really appreciate that.
And she likes my dance, y'all. I got a special dance I do for Stephanie. And she likes, you know, we don't talk about it too much, but I got my little dance I get on.
You can't tell nobody about that.
When we was at the Christmas party and you asked me if I'd be a part of LAE, I felt so special. I really did. That did so much for me. It really did.
Aww.
I appreciate it. And I brag about it to everybody. I think one of my girlfriends that I grew up with since I was a little girl, I think she's listening on the radio right now. If she is, hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Yeah,
How are you?
We grew up young, going to camp together. We saw each other get our heart broken and everything. And through Facebook, just about a month ago, we found together.
Oh, beautiful. Mm,
yeah, that's
beautiful.
Special.
That
so we gotta
is wonderful.
We got to hurry up and get together. Get
that
ourselves
is
together.
Wonderful.
I think, I'm good. I'm good now. You know, so sometimes people complain about Facebook, but there's a lot of good things about Facebook, too.
Yeah, there are. I tell you, I found a family member who I haven't seen in 30 years. So that's been,
really?
You know, a real, over 30 years. I hadn't seen them. That was a few years ago I found them. So that was good. Friends with a couple of people who I went to kindergarten with. So that
really?
Was, you know, yeah.
Wow.
So I love that part. I love that part of Facebook. You know, some parts I can do without, but, you know, hey, it's a way to connect with people and it's a way to get your voice out there. So I'll take it for the good it is, and I don't indulge in the other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but one of the things I'm going to get back on the topic of disability ain't got nothing on me. I had to, I was speaking with someone the other day, and I was telling them how before my disability, I had a picture in my head of what a disabled person's life was like. And when I became disabled, I kind of automatically put myself into that picture that I saw, you know, until I started being around people who lived with their disabilities. Like, for instance, you are a person who have been disabled from young, very young. It's probably all that you can remember. And when it's all that you know, you just live with it. You just deal with it. And that's it. That's your norm. That's your regular every day. And you don't have anything else to compare it to in terms of what I used to do, how I used to be, you know, and things like that. So I think it's a little bit easier for you to accept, if you can understand what I'm saying, you know, and get on and just do your thing the way you do your thing, you know, whereas a person becoming disabled, sometimes they kind of got to find their way again. I'm happy to say that I have been able to find my way, because I think I am happier now than I've ever been, you know, personally, you know, as far as personal contentment is concerned, because I'm now able to do with this, with LAE and the things I'm trying to get done with LAE, I'm able to do what I want to do. This is what I want to do. You know, before I had, I kind of had ideas about what I wanted to do. I kind of you know, but you sort of, sometimes I think ideas are sort of planted in our head that, you know, this is success, this is what you need to do to be successful, you need to have this job, you need to make this kind of money, you need to be able to do this, that, that, and the other. But none of those things really made me happy. You know, getting up, going to work, I worked for the city, I worked for the Board of Ed, Department of Ed, excuse me, you know, or whatever. But it made me acceptable, I would say, you know, right. You're not a deadbeat, just living off the system, you know, type of thing. You know, I kind of loathed getting up every morning. Sometimes, you know, you got to leave before the sun is up, you know, and you get home, the sun is down. And you just feel like you miss the day. I can remember a couple of days, you know, playing hooky from work, grabbing my daughter, playing hooky from school. Come on, let's go enjoy this day because it's so nice and bright and sunny, you know. And now some people can't understand that, you know, you live with a disability and you can still be happy. You know,
yeah, like
some people,
how you smiling.
Right, you know, they kind of look at you like, if that were me, they couldn't imagine being happy. But I can recall, you know, I did go through a depression, and I was seeing a psychiatrist. And, you know, after a while, things got better. And I can recall the psychiatrist wanted me to be, they had like a, it was like a, not a focus group, but it was a group of psychology students and a professor or whatever. And basically I was a study subject. And I came in and, you know, they just wanted me to answer some questions or whatever. And one of the questions was, are you mad? Aren't you mad? I'm like, you know, they wanted to know if I were mad because of the way that my life had gone. You know, losing my parents very early. By the time I was 17, both my parents had passed. Raising five children by myself, and now being disabled. And I'm like, what am I mad at? None of these things, besides the marriage, I guess, did I have control over. There are things that happen, you know, and I would even go further as to say things that my Lord feels that I'm strong enough to endure, strong enough to take and make something out of it. You know, it's not just, here, these things happen to you now. It's just weight on you. It's not weight anymore. These are things, instead of having it on my back as weight, I stand upon those things. You know, I stand upon these things and reach higher, and, you know, and use them as a foundation, as building blocks. You know, there are people, when you look at your misfortune, sometime I think there are lessons in that misfortune that you can later use to help someone else. Because I think that you know, when you can tell somebody, it's one thing. Me and my daughter were talking, and we were talking about psychiatrists and psychologists and therapy and things like that, and how, you know, they sit there and they ask you all these questions, and a lot of times it's like you're just asking questions that you, it's protocol questions, you know. And I was telling her, I said, you know, people appreciate when you have been where they've been, when they've been where you've been. And you can let them know it gets better because I've been there.
Yeah.
You know, I've been where you're at. It gets better. You can go on and you can make something else out of this. I see we do have a few callers. Actually, the lines are kind of full. So I'm going
to... Leon's trying to talk to you.
Leon? Is he calling in?
He's on right now. He's trying to talk.
What are the last four numbers of his phone number?
What's the last four numbers of your phone, Leon? 6321.
Okay, I'm going to put him on right now. Okay.
She'll put you on right now.
Okay. Hey, Leon, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, baby? How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
I was just listening to your show. I've been on for about, ever since you've been on a year. I'm proud of you. How's everything?
I'm fine. I'm fine.
Hey, then. Just wanted to give you a shout out.
Oh, thank you, Leon. I appreciate it.
I saw your thing on Facebook, so I just wanted to say what's going on.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks for calling in.
And I hope it grows. I hope you get a large following. You know, don't give up. Hang in there.
Leon, sometimes I'm gonna tell you and be honest. Sometimes I want to throw my hands up and say forget it, but I know I got to keep on because I know it's something that is useful in our community. And I really appreciate your participation. And I have said this to a couple of people, and I don't know if I said it to you. Your participation and your input, it really means a lot because you coming as a person with some type of experience and some type of wisdom, it helps a lot, especially when talking to the younger crowd.
Right.
And I really appreciate that. I really do. And I love having you at the events. I love when you speak. And I love what you add to the conversation.
Thank you. Well, I get something out of it, too. I get a lot out of it. I get a lot out of listening to you and listening to others, you know. And that's why this radio station has to continue. And, you know, hopefully you'll blow up like wildfire. You know, you just got to, you know, hang in there. How long have you been doing it?
Next month will be a year.
Yep.
Okay, so
next month.
We got to start on because Nita told me about it. And once I got her text, I gave her a call because I want to try to every Monday listen to what you got to say and stuff like that.
Well, it's not even just me saying it. It's whoever, you know, it's the community, our community saying. Like last week was supposed to be Guy Talk, but it'll be next week because there was a problem with a technical problem. So we're going to do Guy Talk next week. It's the guys talking. So that'll be a great time for you to, you know, to call in and you can speak and you can tell your story because that's what we're doing this month. We are, you know, talking to members of the community, getting their story, getting their perspective. Because everybody's important and everybody has a story.
Right.
And
I said that's the importance of this radio station. That's why we have to support it. You know,
that's why we really have to support it.
We really do. And we have to stop paying attention to these. Like you said on Facebook, you haven't seen a family. You found a family member after 30 years or something like that. So, you know, people are creatures of habit. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, like the more we get in tune to listening to you, I feel it's important that you have a stage, you have a platform, and it's very important to use that platform or that vehicle as something positive because people need to see this and people need to be a part of this. That's what I'm trying to say.
You know? And what I really want to use this platform for is to uplift this community. You know, to lift our voices and, you know, everybody tell their story and just to shed this whatever it is that's on us that don't let us shine and flourish, you know. But we have a minute and a half left to the show, and I just want to let everybody know that on March 26th at AXIS, we're at it again. Disability ain't got nothing on me. We everybody's talking. And look for our anniversary coming up soon. You know, we're putting together a nice big show for that. Don't forget to join us here Mondays at 6 p.m. at www.blogtalkradio.com/Slade. You can call in at 347-308-8494. Visit our Facebook page Laid Love and Intimacy for the Disabled. And thank you, everybody. For Ms. V, thank you. And
thank you, Leon.
Don't call in next week and talk with the guys.
You.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
All right.
Thank
good night.
You.
And other callers, I didn't get to you. Thank you for calling in and thank you for joining us. Bye bye.
Good night, sweetie. Bye,
good night,
everybody.
Good night.
Bye.